Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit sexual content and death of a family member.
And we have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from Isabella Irisquin. I hope I said that right. Thank you, Queen. And it says, I look forward to hearing this podcast when I tan every Sunday. You guys are seriously the best ever. Makes it so much fun, and you guys are super funny.
Isabella, you cutie.
Thank you, Isabella.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Highest Bidder by Sarah Kate. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I give 3.
Okay.
I did a 4, and I said, wow, that was the craziest 2.5 months ever.
Is that the span of the book?
Yes.
Yes.
That's crazy. That is actually crazy. I did 4. It was good. I liked it more than I liked Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it was what it was, and that's all it was.
I gave it 3 because I wanted it to be a different kink, first of all. It's one that's been covered, kind of.
Yeah.
It kind of is a different kink. It's like the same kink, but a different genre of the kink.
Yeah. But I wanted something completely like 180, like
same.
Never been covered in the previous 4 books.
Where's the scat?
Yeah. Give me the poop.
It didn't even have to be poop, but it would have been preferred.
Oh, it should be.
I just feel bad for the main male character. He's not. I just want to pat his hand and be like, there.
Is it like an, oh, sweetie?
Yeah.
Oh.
And no. The girl, I think I would rather punch in the throat.
Okay.
Oh, I'm curious. This makes me curious.
So this is the first book in the series that doesn't start out in the same prologue because Ronan is a member of the club.
Okay.
He is not an owner.
A new perspective.
Yes. He receives an email from Emerson Grant about a business opportunity that would be also beneficial to his personal life. And it's all he can think about as he's getting dumped by his current girlfriend. He's genuinely sorry about their breakup since they fell hard and fast and hates to see her go, but knows he can't prioritize her over his job. Like, it's just something he won't do. He lets her know that he does love her and loves her daughter and wants to make sure that her daughter Daisy is at least taken care of. So he writes a large check and begs Shannon to take it for Daisy so it can accrue interest and pay for her college education. And then she's gone. It's present day. Daisy's 21 and slinging drinks at Salacious Players Club. It's not exactly what she pictured for herself, but the opportunity fell in her lap, so she is like whatever about it. She sees Mr. Ronan Cade walk in and take his normal spot, and she's not into older men, but understands why he's such a hit with the ladies.
Because he's hot.
He's a silver fox.
Yeah.
Oh. She stares at him a little too long, trying to figure him out. Every auction day, her and Gio, do you remember Gio, the bartender from the other books?
Yeah.
He dated Drake previously to see if there was any chemistry.
That's right.
They have a game on who Ronan will bet on, and the winner gets to pick the bar and buy the first round of drinks if she wins. But Gio's like, no, if you win, that's what we'll do. But if I win, you have to get on stage and be auctioned off. And she says, deal, because she's like convinced that she's gonna win.
Okay, Daisy.
Ronan's had a shit day and he almost didn't come to the club. It's the death anniversary of someone he knows and it's been 28 years, but it never gets easier. The waitress Daisy brings him another bourbon and he finds her very intriguing, but she's way too young and he describes her as very angelic. She never talks to him on auction days, but she tells him this one day, happy bidding. Little does she know, he's not bidding tonight.
Huh. Also, what does it mean if you think someone's like angelic?
Very innocent looking, like
pure.
Pure, yeah.
Oh my God. She's gonna be a virgin.
Okay. The bidding starts on the first girl, and before he knows it, Daisy's next to him asking why he's not bidding on her. She never talks to this man, and she's like, why aren't you bidding?
He's like, why are you worried about it?
Yeah. He asks if he should bid on her, and she starts stuttering, saying the blonde just seems like his type. And now he's very intrigued with her. Before any more is said, the woman is auctioned to a man in the back, and Daisy runs away. And that was who her and Gio bet that he would bid on. So she's lost. She's officially lost to bet.
So now she gets to go up there.
He goes to the bar and asks Gio where Daisy went, and Gio says she ran away since she lost her bet. He isn't sure what to make of this, so he goes back to his seat to see how the night plays out. Then he realizes what Gio meant as Daisy is hauled onto the stage to be the final bid of the night. The bidding starts and he really just wants to be a spectator, but he can't help himself when some sleazeball is like starting to look Daisy up and down and it doesn't sit right in his gut. He's like, nah, this man's not gonna win. They get into a bidding war and he obviously wins because he places a bid of $100,000.
Oh, I'd be so flattered. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, me like, too. You think that of me?
He helps her off the stage and tells her he looks forward to their date, but it's not going to be tonight. And then he wishes her a good night and leaves. She's in her camper van, freezing her ass off, thinking about the whole night. She's known about Ronan for 3 years now, but hasn't said more than 10 words to him in the 3 months that she's worked at Salacious Players Club. When her mom passed away 3 years ago, she found a savings account with over $3 million in her name, and she refuses to touch it until she figures out why a complete stranger, aka Mr. Ronan Cade, would leave her money.
Oh, what? So that was her mom's ex-boyfriend that left her all the money. Wait, so Ronan is her mom's ex-boyfriend?
Yeah.
And she knows that.
She does. That's why she works there.
Which is why I've gone to great, slightly unhinged lengths to figure it out, including some minor stalking, moving across the country, getting a job where I know he goes, and slowly studying him over the course of 3 months.
Why didn't she just ask him?
Wait, so Ronan doesn't know about her, but no. She knows about him.
Yeah. And she's just been watching him for 3 months.
Well, all she really knows about him was his name that was on the check. So she's like, I'm going to be my own private FBI agent and I'm going to figure this out myself. So she stalks him.
Yeah, but like once you figure out who he is, just be like, hey,
yeah,
my name's Daisy. You left me this money. How come?
Yeah.
But she decides she just has a cute little quirk about her.
I'm just a quirky girl.
She is.
Also, maybe crazy of me, but I wouldn't care. I'd say, oh, I have all this money now. Cool.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much. I will keep that.
She wants to get to the bottom of it so she can finally attend music school. She has her theories on how she got the money, but she needs to know for sure. As she's about to fall asleep in her camper van, she gets a teasing text from Gio about losing the bet, and then he lets her know that she gets 20% of the money that Ronan bid tonight, and it goes to her next check. So her next check will be whatever she made plus $20,000.
Jesus.
And she's like, when's the next auction night?
Yeah.
It's past midnight, and Ronan finished his dinner, but can't sleep, so he grabs his jacket and his phone to go for a walk. He walks, thinking about how his life led him to this point when he reaches the park and walks into the little gas station next to it. As he catches up with the owner, the door swings open and it's Daisy. It's 2 a.m. and he's like, what the fuck are you doing at a gas station at 2 a.m.?
Yeah, honestly.
She admits that she's there for hot water for her tea and the owner lets her fill up her mug for free. He demands to know why she can't just do that at home and she tells him that it's none of his business. She grabs her hot water and then leaves, but he's immediately following her out. Like, it doesn't sit right with him. He watches her get into a shifty looking van and then pounds on the door demanding for answers. When she opens it, he grabs her to haul her out, telling her that she can park the van in his garage and take one of his guest rooms. Her fight dies and she asks what he wants in return, insinuating sexual favors for like giving her a guest room. He's like, I literally can't sleep knowing that you're staying in a van in a fucking park in the middle of the city. Get your shit, let's go.
He's like, I'm just a kind person.
They get to his place. It's obviously fancy as fuck since he's a billionaire. He lets her know the housekeeper will be there in the morning and will get her anything she needs, and then he leads her to the guest bedroom. She asks a question that's been bugging her, and the question is, did you follow me to my van and then the gas station? And he's like, no, I literally was out for a walk because I couldn't sleep, and then you happened to be there. Just stay at my apartment. If it makes you feel better, I'll go to a different apartment I own in the city, and you can have this one. Like, you're just not staying in the fucking van.
When she's the one stalking him.
I know.
She says that she's not worried about him, and then they say goodnight. The next morning, she takes a luxurious shower, and for the first time in months, a song pops into her head, so she finishes her shower so she can write it down, because she makes music. She's a musician.
Oh.
After she gets dressed, she notices she's alone in the apartment, so she snoops around until she lays eyes on the most beautiful piano she's ever seen. And it's like a grandbaby piano in this man's apartment.
Oh, casual. Of course. Yeah, of course.
She stares in awe and remembers her childhood learning how to play and how the piano is really just an extension of herself when Ronan startles her and says that she could play if she wants. She plays a couple songs from memory, and once she's done, he is in awe. He tells her she could play anytime she wants, and she's like, this man's charming. I bet this is why my mom fell for him.
Oh my goodness.
He's in his office, but he can't work because she's continuing to play the piano. He realizes he doesn't want her to leave, and he hasn't even slept with her, but he's trying to figure out how to keep her there with him. He feels less lonely when she's there. He thinks about how he can help her, and it doesn't even have to be intimate in any way. He just wants to take care of her. And he describes, like, he doesn't want to get attached because women use him for his money and just break his heart. But he's, like, already down bad.
It's been, like, literally 24 hours, and he's like, I have to keep her.
I love her.
When the music stops, he looks up to see her peering in the office, and she tells him she should go, but he lets her know that she's gonna stay here where it's warm and safe. End of discussion. And she's like, yeah, okay.
Move in. You wanna sleep on my bed?
They make lunch together, and she kind of laughs a little bit because as he's making her burgers, it's weird because he's the wealthiest man in the city, and he should have somebody doing this for him. And she thinks that's funny for some reason.
What if he wants to cook his own food?
He actually does get upset by this and is like, that's not who I am. Like, I'm pretty normal.
He's a humble king.
He is a humble king. And then she makes a joke about how he hasn't even tried to sleep with her. And he's like, girl, I don't even know you. You're like way too young. I'm not going to try to sleep with you. Like, I'm just trying to be nice and take care of you. She's curious and asks why he hasn't tried to sleep with her or why he doesn't bring women back to the apartment. But he just ignores the question.
When I turn my back toward her, I notice she's sitting on the countertop, her legs dangling off the edge, and I have to clench my jaw to keep from thinking very inappropriate things. How I'd love to drape them over my shoulders, feel her soft thighs against my ears, and see just how good she tastes between them. Filthy images of her start racing through my mind. The thought of making her come so many times, she's soaked and aching. The sounds she would make while taking my cock down her throat. The way she would look tied to my bed, squirming and begging for relief. Okay, Grandpa.
He is trying to shut the idea down because he's like, oh my god, I am literally a pervert. Like, why am I thinking this about this girl I'm trying to help?
Just an old man.
They eat their food and get to know each other a little bit better since they'll be sharing space together. And when she gets to work later on, it's really quiet, which is odd for a Friday night. Garrett sees that she's literally making busy work and tells her to go upstairs to help Mariana, but she's never been upstairs.
What's up there?
All the sex stuff.
Oh.
As she climbs the steps, she sees why downstairs is dead. The VIP portion of the club is popping. She quickly helps Mariana dish out the drinks before accidentally running into the man who had the bid war with Ronan over her. He introduces himself as Clay, and something about him is sending alarm bells off in her head. He asks to buy her a drink when she's off, but she lies and says that she has plans, and he gets kind of irritated about this, but she goes straight back to work. She delivers more drinks to a specific section of the VIP lounge, and when she gets back there, she hears the sex going on before she sees it, and again, she's never been up there. She's not a prude, but she was just not expecting it. She drops waters off to a couple, then goes to leave, but not before a very familiar man takes up her vision. She feels sick to her stomach because she knows why Ronan is there. She shouldn't feel jealous. That's not her man's. But he's there to get fucked.
They haven't even done anything, and she's like, get out.
Don't be at the sex club.
I feel like it would be hard not to, because you're like, he's like
taking care of her almost. I feel like I'd be like, what are you doing?
When Ronan arrives at the club, he learns Daisy is waitressing upstairs and his blood boils. She's never been upstairs and he is not okay with it. He stomps up the steps and runs into her, telling her that he doesn't want her working the VIP section. And she's like, it's too bad. It's kind of my job. And then she walks away.
Yeah, she works there.
He sulks against the wall for a minute when Eden approaches. You remember, that's Madam Kink.
Mm-hmm.
And asks if that girl is his new project. He tenses because he doesn't like thinking of Daisy as a project, but also knows that Eden is not wrong. Eden tells him to be careful, then kisses his cheek as he makes eye contact with Daisy. She continues her shift when she hears three women at a table talking about Ronan.
I came so many times I had to beg him to stop. The runway model whispers and I freeze. Older men always know what they're doing, the older woman replies. Well, not to mention, he's a pleasure dom, one of them adds. What does that mean? It means he forces you to enjoy yourself. He gets off on getting you off, the woman replies.
So that's what his kink is. She's still eavesdropping when she hears one of the women say he's right there staring and she should go talk to him. Daisy immediately gets up and is like, nope, not my man.
She said, that's my old man.
Ew.
She heads straight for him and she takes the time to actually look at him, and he is really hot and attractive for an old man. When she approaches, she warns him that the older lady is going to come over here and shoot her shot, and he just smiles. He teases her and places another drink order, but asks if she wants to have a drink with him, and she says that she can't, she's working.
So you don't want to make them jealous? I'll let you sit on my lap while you drink it, he replies with a smirk.
Okay.
That's like his first like flirting with her.
Sit on Santa's lap. Does that make it weird?
Immediately.
I mean, he could be like the Target hot Santa.
True.
Ooh.
He stretches his leg to run it against hers, and she's really turned on. She goes to leave, but he stops her and pulls her to him, which has her practically straddling him. She gets up and leaves after he tells her he likes seeing her all riled up over him. It's now 3 a.m., and she's showering before bed, fantasizing what it would be like to be in the VIP area, not working. And then the fantasy takes another step, and it's her and Ronan enjoying the VIP area. She uses the shower head to get herself off, and when she turns the shower off, she feels something familiar happen. She stumbles out of the shower and then passes out. She comes to moments later to Ronan barging in and scooping up her naked body, asking what the fuck just happened.
It's like my biggest fear.
What?
Passing out naked.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, I'm like a chubby girl.
Chubby girls unite.
I also don't enjoy it. I'm not someone that, like, enjoys being naked, really. Don't really like it. And, like, one of my biggest fears is, like, how people are like, you know, I have to sleep naked. Oh, my God. No, never. What if my house is on fire and all my clothes already burned down? What? I have to run outside butt naked? No. Or if I, like, pass out in the shower and Andrew has to come find me? Yes, he's seen me naked, but he's going to see me naked, like, in a weird position. Crazy? No.
But what do you think he's going to do? Like, slap your titties while you're just like laying there like struggling to breathe.
What if he sees me like and he like gets the ick, you know?
Oh, that's valid.
Because I'm indisposed.
After like 10 years, he's like, ooh.
Not like, is my wife okay? He's just like, meh, oh, I'm gonna leave that alone.
Why'd she fall like that?
Yeah, she's kind of contorted. Gross. Not into this anymore.
She knows her blood sugar is probably very low, but she doesn't tell him. He carries her to the counter and she's like, get me a fucking towel. What are you doing? So he grabs her a towel and leaves. Once he's gone, she grabs her glucose gummies and sits on the floor until she feels better. And then she sobs as grief consumes her, thinking about her mom. After she feels a little bit better, she dresses and opens the door to find him standing there. And she tries to explain to him how she feels. And he just tells her he needs her in his life after she played the piano today. So he's like, please stay.
He says, I think I love you.
They're on the couch drinking tea and being all cozy while she reads a couple pages of his favorite book. And he mentions that they should go to Paris since she's never been, because like on the cover of the book is the Eiffel Tower. She laughs at this and he's like, well, I still owe you a date. So he's being 100% serious.
Oh my God.
And she's like, yeah, okay.
Imagine just a casual date to Paris.
Insane.
Yeah. When she thumbs through the book, a picture of a younger Ronan, a woman, and a little boy fall out. He freezes as she stares at the photo until he has to pry it from her hand. He tells her that's his wife and son, and they died in a car accident 28 years ago.
Sad.
Yeah.
She apologizes as silence fills the room until they both go to bed. She doesn't sleep at all, and at 5 a.m., she walks around the house until she goes to his room and knocks quietly. He tells her to come in, and she admits that she can't sleep. He's shirtless, hot as fuck, working on his laptop, and she wants to fuck that man.
Do it.
He tells her to get into bed, and she hesitates but does. He clicks off the light, puts his laptop to the side, and she asks why he wants to take her to Paris, and he says, just because.
Just for fun.
She wants to ask him a personal question, and it's, what exactly is a pleasure dom? Because she tells him what she overheard those ladies talking about.
He clears his throat, adjusting himself on his pillow. It means I like to be in control, but I like to bring my partner pleasure. I like being able to control when they come, how they come, and how often they come.
So that's our pleasure dom kink, which I'm tired of the dom kink.
I do feel like we have that one a lot.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, okay, cool, cool, cool. And she starts asking other questions and he tells her, okay, that's enough. I like to keep you innocent. I don't want to like make you into something that you're not since you don't even know what half this stuff is. The next day, the two are loading his private jet to go to Paris.
Oh.
Daisy can tell the flight attendant is trying to win him over, so she tries to assert her dominance. And he tells her what the touchdown game plan is. And as the flight attendant walks by, she says, whatever you want, daddy. So she's like trying to be like, this is my man's, quit flirting with him. Ronan waits for the attendant to leave and tells Daisy to never do that again. She's pouting and being kind of a brat and goes to get up, but he stops her by dragging her onto his lap.
Yeah, I would immediately be like, what are we? We boyfriend goif?
Yeah, boyfriend goif.
Stop pouting because I told you not to call me that, he responds. What? I ask, feeling obstinate. Daddy, why not? Because you like it too much? With a strong hand on my hip, he grinds my body against his legs. And when I feel the hard bulge in his pants, I let out a gasp. Yes, Daisy, I do. I like it far too much.
Sorry,
you
daddy.
Dirty old man.
Just throwing a grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah. Grandpappy.
Ooh. Even better.
She is hella soaked now, but he quickly puts her in place, saying that they will not complicate whatever they have going on with sex. So she just storms off. Later that night, the flight attendant makes two beds, and Daisy's wearing skimpy-ass pajamas. He likes her too much to give in to the desire because he knows he won't survive another heartbreak. All he can think about is how much he wants her and how much he enjoyed her calling him daddy. He goes and changes into his pajamas and then crawls into her bed, saying that he sleeps better with her. They wake up in Paris, put their stuff in his apartment, and walk around getting to know each other better. She starts talking about her life living in the van, not turning out how she hoped. He tells her a little bit about his wife and son, his second marriage that ended just as fast as it started, and his other relationship he had was the right person in the wrong time. And she knows that's her mom.
Oh.
She changes the subject and asks him what his most favorite place is here. He says it's a club like Salacious Players, but he instantly regrets saying anything because she's like, we have to go.
They get to their apartment in Paris, and of course, it is a room that has the best view, a near-perfect view of the Eiffel Tower. Ronan gets a phone call, and it's from an old friend and business partner, and they make plans to meet tonight at the sex club. Of course, Daisy's pissed because he was going to take her to the Eiffel Tower, but she storms around, and she's like, fine, you know what? Fuck you. I'll take myself to the Eiffel Tower. Ronan tells her, no, you're not going anywhere, and she says, actually, I'm an adult. You're not really my daddy. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
He grabs her wrist and he's like, I told you not to call me that. And she says, what are you going to do about it, big boy?
He leans closer until his mouth is just an inch from mine. I'm going to put you over my knee and spank your ass until you learn. A wicked laugh bursts out of me as I smile up at him. Sounds like something a daddy would do. I tease in return.
I mean, yeah. After he said that, there's some bumping and grinding going on, and Daisy says, please, daddy.
His mouth crashes against mine like thunder. He tastes like bourbon and him, warm and heady. I'm devouring his kiss like I need it to survive. Hips grinding, fingers grabbing, teeth biting. We are a mess of desire and lust.
Ronan remembers himself and tells her he told her not to call him that. And he looks torn. So now she's feeling hella guilty and she apologizes because she's like, oh crap, I think I kind of like pushed him to the limit.
It's not that I don't want you, Daisy. You have to understand just how much I want you. But the things I want to do to you, baby girl, are dirty, filthy things. And you're too fucking sweet for me.
After a little debate, Ronan finally agrees to letting Daisy go to the club with him. He tells her he's a partial owner of this club and they are going to meet the other owner. Even with that being said, the rules here are very lax and she must stay next to him the whole time because people toe over the boundaries here. She's confused on what he means by that.
It means that just because you're seen with me, it doesn't mean people won't try to proposition you. A playful smirk pulls at the corner of my lips. And what should I say if they do? A sour, dark sort of expression transforms his features as he lets go of my back and moves a hand to my face, cupping my jaw. My head tilts back more as I stare up into his eyes. You tell them your daddy said no.
My dad said no. My dad said I have to be home before the street lights turn on. I have to be home for supper.
They get to the club and they meet Matisse, the other owner, and he's in his 30s and sexy as fuck. They're all sitting at a table together and Daisy is sitting next to Matisse and there's two girls in between Daisy and Ronan. Matisse is literally biting Daisy's ear. He's like in her ear like, hey girl, and like biting her earlobe.
Huh.
And Daisy's like side-eyeing Ronan, like waiting for him to like stop his friend, but he hasn't moved. He's very obviously tense, but isn't saying anything. That is until Matisse says, let me make love to you, Daisy. And then Ronan gets up and he's like, all right, let's fucking go. And just whisks Daisy out of the room. Mm-mm-mm. He calls her a brat and tells her she's a lot to learn. And she's like, all right, then teach me. Ronan decides to bring Daisy to his addition to the club, which is a voyeurism grand hall. So it's kind of like the voyeurism room that they have at Salacious, but it's like a huge, big grand hall. And it has multiple performances on right now. He notices how Daisy's eyes are snagged on the bondage and a man strapped on the St. Andrew's cross. And he like takes like mental notes on what she likes and what's catching her attention. And the whole ride home, she's super restless. When they get back to the house, she decides that she's going to sleep in her own room alone tonight. She's still fidgeting and he asks if everything's okay. And she's like, yes, God, fine. We just watched a bunch of people have sex and now I'm horny as fuck, okay? And then she like runs in her room.
She says, I have to go flick my bean.
Yeah, pretty much.
They both go into their rooms and Ronan is driving himself crazy thinking about how Daisy's in her room flicking the bean and playing DJ on her clip by herself. Like a madman with no thoughts, he storms down the hallway and storms right into her room. He just bursts in. I think of like the Kool-Aid man. Like, oh yeah.
What are you doing in here?
He said, I can smell you.
But in reality, she's just curled on her side, laying in bed. And he looks at her confused and she's like, I literally gave myself the ick by how embarrassed I was telling you that I was really horny in the hallway, so I'm not doing anything.
She says, I dried right up.
But no worries. Daddy's here now.
Let me, I say in a bold request. She stares at me over her shoulder, a rightfully perplexed expression on her face. Let you what? I nuzzle closer. Let me relieve your ache, Daisy.
She said, You know what? Hell yeah. And he runs his finger down her pussy.
Oh, Daisy, I growl. You're suffering, baby girl. Do you want daddy to make you feel better? What the fuck am I doing? I'm throwing caution to the wind. I'm sailing headfirst into a storm. And I don't know if I'll make it out alive. But those words just slip through my lips so effortlessly. Like I was made to utter them to her. And it's not wrong, perverted, or sick. It just feels right. Judging by the way she groans and shoves her backside against my aching cock, she doesn't think it's so wrong either. Yes, daddy, she cries with a needy hum. Please help me.
He fingers her until she comes. And she turned to him and said, what about you? He said, don't worry about me. And this part made me LOL because before even the last word is out, she's snoring. So he's like, don't worry about. And she's like,
okay, I wasn't worried.
Yeah, I wasn't worried at all. She plays the piano in front of strangers for him, and which is like a big deal because she doesn't play in front of people. So they were like walking on the street and there's a piano and he was like, play for me, Daisy. And she's like, only for you. And then he takes her to the park to see the Eiffel Tower. There's a lady that's there judging them. And that's when it sunk into her that she really doesn't give a flying fuck and truly wants to be with him. This part gave me the ick because I guess they're having a very magical moment where he fingers her at the park in front of a bunch of people under a blanket. And she comes right when the Eiffel Tower lights turn on. But like they're at a park with a bunch of people around and there's like children like running around in the park.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Paris, Jenna.
Yeah, everyone's getting finger blasted.
Everyone. Yeah, everyone is fingering themselves under the blankets in Paris. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think that's true.
No.
I was reading this and I was like, if you got caught, you would literally go to jail.
You would be on a registry.
Yeah, but magical, okay? That was a magical moment for them.
Who wouldn't want to come right as the Eiffel Tower lights up the sky?
Alone. I would love that alone.
Just as it turns on, you're, aha!
Yeah.
And she, like, screamed, but everyone clapped at the same time, so no one heard her scream.
They're clapping for her.
Yay, she came right when the lights went on.
Yay,
orgasm. Good for her.
It drove Ronan crazy, though, because the second they got to the apartment, he pounced on her like a puma.
My body takes over, and the next thing I know, I'm on my knees in front of her. I don't care that we're in an elevator that could stop for anyone. I need her taste on my tongue. I drag up the hem of her dress while I lift her leg, and suddenly, I'm unhinged. Suddenly. You've been unhinged, baby boy.
They get to his bedroom and they're about to start fucking when he tells her to grab a condom in his dresser drawer and she's straight up like, no. He said, what? She's like, I don't want one. I want you to fuck me raw and I want you to come in me.
Oh, crazy girl.
She tells him that she's on birth control and he says, daddy likey. So he said, okay. They get to know each other a little bit more and he opens up to her about his past loves. He tells her a decade ago he found a great love, but it didn't work out because she had a life that didn't include him. And this was the part that bothered me because that's the wording that she used in the book. She had a life that didn't include him, but in the prologue, she literally begged him to just put more effort into the relationship and like not put his work first, and he said no.
Yeah.
So that's how he sees it.
How much did you love her then?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was just like, that's literally how you saw it. That's not it at all. She was like literally trying to keep you for any reason and you wouldn't put her first. And that she had a daughter and then everything past and present clicked for her that for sure she knows that that was her mom that he was with. And she starts crying and she kind of deflects telling him that she doesn't want to go back home and he's like, why are you crying? On the flight back, Daisy asks Ronan if he'll still go to Salacious and he says yes. But the only person that he'll be sleeping with at the club is her. Plus, he goes there just because he likes it. It's not always just for the sex. She wants to learn all about the kinks and to be perfect for him and just wants to be a good sub since he's a dom. He tells her they can start now and starts eating her out right on the plane. She did make sure to say yes, daddy, really loud enough for the flight attendant to hear.
Oh, fuck that flight attendant.
Yeah. They get back to Ronan's apartment and she's in the room alone when she starts to feel really dizzy and lightheaded. She realized she hasn't eaten anything today and she suffers from low blood sugar. She gets up to call Ronan's name, getting ready to explain everything to him before everything goes black. She wakes up to voices all around her and a light in her eye, and it's the paramedic asking her questions, and her head just really hurts really bad. She knows that she must have hit it on the way down. She explains to them that she has low blood sugar, and Ronan is looking at her, super angry, but also very, very scared and vulnerable. In just a week's time, Daisy has become the most important person who has ever been in Ronan's life. More than Julia, more than Shannon, who is her mom, and more than his ex-wife and child.
So fucking annoying.
What?
This man.
Yeah.
My dead wife and kid, fuck him.
In 1 week, he's like,
I like this 21-year-old.
Yeah.
She plays the piano.
Yeah.
They're back at his apartment, and he's basically force-feeding her now because he's so scared that another episode's gonna happen. Once he's satisfied that her blood sugar is good, he's like, okay, perfect. Punishment time.
My cock twitches in my pants. What did I tell you I was going to do if you were bad, Daisy? She swallows, her lips parting as she leans in ever so slightly. Put me over your knee. I think you deserve that. What do you think? Yes, she replies without hesitation. She looks petrified, her eyes wide and her breathing shallow. Yes, daddy, she adds in a small voice. And at that, my cock practically jumps. Good girl, Daisy. I kiss her forehead. Now go take your clothes off and wait for me on my bed.
Yes, sir.
He takes his time doing the dishes and cleaning the house just to make her stir in anticipation, which I thought was hella funny because if it was me, I'd get up and be like, what the fuck is taking so long?
Yeah.
I would be so pissed. And then he goes in and decides to give her punishment, which is 20 ass whoopings.
I'd be like pissed off by like the 10th one. I would be like mad.
The second one, I'd be like, yeah, I'm done. Yeah. Get the fuck off of me.
You know why I'm doing this, don't you, Daisy? Because I didn't eat today, she says in a high-pitched whine. Because you scared me, baby. You scared the fuck out of me. Now I want to hear you scream and cry and thrash, because at least then I know you're alive and well. Scream for me, Daisy. Okay. He's like, your blood sugar dropped. In trouble.
How dare you?
How dare you have a medical emergency?
She takes all 20 spankings and is so turned on, and then she fucks herself on his cock, and he's like, holy fuck, that was the hottest thing I've ever done, and I'm old as fuck, so that's saying something. Ronan realized just how much Daisy liked that, and he knows that pain isn't something he's really willing to give her. Or not willing, but it's something that he can't really give her in the relationship. And he asked her if she would be comfortable bringing another person to do that. She says yes, as long as it's someone he trusts and they go easy on her. Daisy is back at work and she tells Gio about Paris, and he immediately tells her that she's in love and she agrees.
I mean, yeah, how could you not be?
Ronan was at her work and they gave a little smoochy smoochy, and then she saw Clay, who was the guy that bit on her the first time, like during the auction, and he was kind of watching them. She couldn't avoid his table though and went to go get his drink order, and he asked if maybe that she'll have a drink with him tonight. She politely declines and he takes the hint that she's with Ronan. He asks if Ronan didn't outbid him and then cut himself off from finishing the question, so I think he was about to ask, like, could they be together? But then she sees a hand with long black nails glide down his chest, and she hears Eden say, "Down, boy."
Eden.
As Daisy walks away, Eden walks with her and tells her to meet her in the VIP room to talk. She said that since you're dating my best friend, I just want to get to know you. As they're talking, Daisy assures Eden that she's not with Ronan for his money, and she tells Eden that Ronan could wake up tomorrow with a dime to his name and she would still love him. And they both look at each other shocked. And she's like, don't tell him I said that. He doesn't know.
Crazy girl.
Daisy ends her talk with Eden, promising to hang out again soon, and then goes next door to Ronan's VIP room. Although he's usually a giver, she wants to worship him right now.
What are you doing, Daisy? Let me, Ronan. I plead softly. You don't need to do this. There's no inflection in his voice, so I know he's serious. It's clear he's not used to letting other people spoil him. Ronan is so used to taking care of others that he's uncomfortable letting others take care of him. It makes me want to do it that much more. I know, I reply. I want to. Let me make you feel good, Daddy.
Okay, Daddy.
She enforces the Gluck Gluck 3000 and it was magical. The whole ride home, Ronan just couldn't help but thinking that Daisy's hiding something.
Oh.
He's like, I know it.
Of course.
You wanted to give me a blowjob? Something's wrong with you.
Secrets.
What are you hiding, bitch?
She's sleeping in bed and he gets to his office to email an old friend. He asks him to do a background check on Daisy, but doesn't end up pressing send because he feels like it's too much of a betrayal to her. Because he trusts her.
No, you don't.
Yeah, no, you literally don't. You think she's hiding something.
He doesn't end up pressing send, though, so that's why. So he closes his computer and goes back to bed with Daisy.
So it's the next day, and Ronan is at the bar when he hears Gio telling Emerson about how he took Daisy to Paris for a week, and he's like, yep, I did that. He spots Eden and goes to her room for a chat, wanting to know what her and Daisy talked about yesterday, and Eden accidentally spills the beans that Daisy said she loved him.
Okay, Eden.
She's a horrible secret keeper.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But also, like, she has no allegiance to Daisy because Ronan's her best friend, so.
That's true.
That is true, yeah.
He's not surprised, but he is a little bit hesitant because he's loved before and it's blown up in his face. Then he asks if Eden would be willing to play out a scene with him and Daisy. Eden's reluctant and tells him he needs to talk to Daisy about it first, and they both need to be completely on board before she agrees. He heads to the VIP area where Daisy's working and sits down with a drink when he's approached by a beautiful, almost nude woman who is not Daisy. Ronan turns her down, but Daisy walks in and spots them together and instantly looks pissed. She approaches him as the woman leaves and asks what he's doing here, and he says he couldn't wait as he pulls her into his lap. Shifts her panties aside and runs a finger over her, and she's like, oh my god, you're gonna get me fired. And he's like, no, I won't. And she's not leaving his lap until she comes.
Oh my god.
She's at work.
Yeah.
And he's like, you won't get fired.
Finger blasting her.
How would you come in a moment like that?
Well, she does come. She comes.
She's a horny bitch.
He tells her when her shift is over, he's gonna take her to his room and she'll submit to him. And she says, yes, daddy. Eventually, her shift is done and she walks to his room telling herself she's gonna confess everything on her day off tomorrow and accept whatever punishment he doles out for her. And then hopefully they can move on with their lives together. She walks in and he gets up to greet her with a little kiss and a present, and it's a silky black nightie.
Cute.
She puts it on and he tells her to come to him. He kisses her fiercely and asks if she likes it, and she says she does, but it's not really her. And he says he gets it, but this is how he sees her, even though he treats her like his baby girl. But to him, she's a strong woman. And now she's hella soaked and ready for whatever he has planned. She tells him she wants him to do whatever he wants to her. He says he's gonna strap her down, blindfold her, and play with her body, and he won't stop until she uses her safe word. And they use, like, the green, yellow, red system. Okay. He wants to see how far he can take her. He restrains her and blinds her and then puts some sort of cooling gel on her clit.
Cooling gel?
Cooling gel.
It's supposed to heighten your orgasm.
Really?
Just sounds chilly. He starts to give her an oily full body massage and then he gets out a vibrator and runs it along her skin but never where she really wants it. Finally, after a while, he places it on her clit and she comes hard and fast, but Ronan is far from finished with her. He cleans her off and starts to eat her out and starts with the vibrator again, and she just keeps coming over and over and over again until it really doesn't feel good anymore. And then she kind of just like blacks out a little bit.
How are you doing? Give daddy a color. Green, she says breathlessly. That's my girl. She whimpers as I kiss her mouth, licking a line across her lips before taking her mouth to taste her desperation. You've soaked the bed, Daisy, I say after pulling away. I think you can give me one more. She whimpers out again. No, I can't. No more, please. I run my fingers through her folds, spreading her wide before rubbing her swollen clit just to watch her writhe. You're not done yet, baby girl. Fuck me, she cries out. Please, daddy.
My God, girl, how? He whips his dick out and lets her out of her restraints and keeps making her repeat, fuck me, daddy, over and over again and tells her she has a filthy mouth. He fucks her hard and fast and they both come together. And now it's time for aftercare. He cleans her off and gets her some water and she's like, okay, I have to tell you something. And she's about to spill the beans about her mom.
Oh, shit.
Uh-huh. But he's like, wait, I love you.
Yeah, he thinks that she's about to say that since he knows that she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I have to say it first.
Oh my God.
Daisy starts to cry and is like, I love you too. And then he asks her to marry him.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And she says yes.
Oh, girl.
They get dressed and head home together where he showers her and feeds her. After she falls asleep, he finds the draft of the email he almost sent to the PI. And for some reason, he decides to send it now.
After he asked her to marry him.
Goddamn. Yeah, why would you ask? Why?
I don't know. The next day, Daisy's playing the piano and she's drowning in turmoil. She needs to tell him the truth. Ronan comes up behind her and asks if she wants to play with Eden tonight. And she says she's ready.
And how is this pretty pussy feeling after last night? He whispers. A little sore, I reply, biting my lip as I gaze down at him. Daddy's going to kiss it all better now. He looks up at me with a wicked smile and I grin in response. Then he winks and settles himself between my legs, letting out a husky groan as his mouth sucks eagerly on my clit.
They head to the club later on and Ronan leads her to a room she's never been to before. Then Eden walks in with lotion and a bunch of clamp looking items. She tells Daisy that in this room she is to call her Madam. She orders Daisy to strip, so she does, and then Eden tells her that she heard from Ronan that she's kind of a brat and grabs her by the hair, making her recite her safe words. She's told to climb onto her daddy's lap, and Eden says they'll start with 12 hits from the paddle. By the end of it, she's kind of feeling like she deserves this for all the lies she's told Ronan, but she's dripping wet, and Eden runs a finger along her arousal, telling Ronan what a dirty girl he has. She's told to stand up, where she's cuffed to a pulley system hanging from the ceiling. Eden spins Daisy around to face her and tells her that the way Ronan looks at her, Eden has never seen him look at anyone like that before, and that Daisy needs to make Ronan see how much she likes the pain so he can feel more comfortable inflicting it, and she says, yes, madam. Because he doesn't want to hurt her, but she kind of, like, is into it, and yeah. It's not Ronan's thing.
He's like, that's not my dom.
Yeah. She gets gotten with a riding crop next, and Ronan is sitting back watching, trying not to feel insanely jealous. He storms up to them and Eden hands him the crop, telling him it's his turn now, and Daisy says, please, daddy. So he tells her they'll start with 10. And she just got 12 hits with a paddle.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Eden puts some nipple clamps on Daisy and Ronan starts to whack her on the back and Daisy's counting the blows and Ronan is feeling awful. He hates this.
Oh, Daisy, you're so wet, Eden mutters against her ear. Can I make you come while daddy makes you cry? Daisy moans loudly again. Yes, madam. Please, madam.
While daddy makes you cry.
He keeps going and Daisy is screaming from both pain and pleasure. And now Eden is on the ground eating Daisy out. Ronan grabs a fistful of Daisy's hair and tells her to hurry up and come because after this, she's all his. She comes and Ronan immediately takes her out of the cuffs and she starts kissing him wildly.
Unbutton my pants and take daddy's cock out, Daisy. With the nipple clamp still dangling from her chest, she reaches for me. Her fingers frantically fumble with the belt and zipper of my pants. My cock is leaking inside my boxer briefs, desperate to be touched by her. She's humming with each breathless exhalation as she tries to hurry and free it. The moment her soft hand slides along my stiff length, I shudder. That's it, baby girl. She wraps her hand around me, softly stroking from base to tip and staring down at my cock in her hand. My eyes close, letting her delicate touch tease me for only a moment longer. Then I pull her face closer and whisper against her mouth, Daisy. Yes, daddy, she replies obediently, and I know she does it because of how much I fucking love it when she calls me that. Ride my cock like a good little girl.
She rides him and he tells her to come on daddy's cock because he's gonna take her home and they're gonna do it over and over and over again. They come together and then Eden pipes in and is like, wow, that was beautiful.
Yeah, she's just chilling, watching.
Slow clap from the corner.
A little show.
Yeah.
A little show for her.
They split the task of Daisy's aftercare and then it's just her and Ronan. She can tell he didn't like inflicting the pain on her and she's like, if you don't like it, you don't have to do it. And he's like, why? So you can just go to Eden? No thanks. And she's like, okay, I love you. And he tells her he loves her too. After Ronan wakes up and gets dressed in the morning, he gets a phone call from his PI. He lists off Daisy's family members. And when he states that Daisy's mother is named Shannon Masters, Ronan is like, hold up, wait, what? Daisy walks in just as he's getting off the phone and she knows that he knows. And he asks her, he's like, why?
Yeah.
She says that originally she just wanted to know who he was and why he left all that money. But as things progressed, she got scared. And that if she asked him about it, he might say that her mom meant nothing to him. And he's like, no, Daisy, I loved your mother.
What an awkward position.
Yes. Then he says this changes everything and tells her to get out of his house, which is fair.
Yeah, she knew that you fucked her mom and then she's fucking you.
She was trying to tell him that she's like, this changes nothing for me. And he's like, girl, it changes everything for me. Like, why are you not seeing this from my point of view?
Yeah,
I don't care about you, girl. What about me? The fuck?
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Now Daisy's back to living in her van, homeless and miserable and heartbroken over Ronan. She goes back to work looking like a straight up mess. And Gio's like, what the fuck? And he pulls her into a hug when he figures out that her and Ronan broke up. He tells her that after their shift, they're gonna go to that stupid piano bar she likes to cheer her up. When they get there, she tries to have a good time, but she's miserable and just winds up drunk and puking in the bathroom when she hears a deep voice saying, Jesus, and she's picked up and brought into Ronan's car. And I guess Gio texted him and told him that they were there. He brings her to the guest bedroom and puts her to bed. She wakes up asking where she is, and he tells her she's in his apartment. She begs him not to leave her, but he turns around and walks out of the room. The next morning, she showers and goes to the living room where Ronan is and breaks down crying, telling him how sorry she is and how she wants everything to go back to the way it was. And he tells her that it can't because he needs her to love him because she wants him, not because she needs him. And they both have some growing up to do. She has to learn to take care of herself first. It's not fair for him to have to take care of her and not let her learn how to do it for herself. And then she leaves. Which is fair. Like, she can't even remember to eat.
Yeah.
He's just giving her life lessons.
It's 2 months later, and Daisy's in grief counseling. She's working through losing her mom, and she's getting over Ronan. Ronan doesn't come to the club anymore, and she's still working there because she needs the money. She lives with Gio now, and she's written a few songs, and she's gonna play them tonight at the piano bar. Her and Gio get all dressed up and head over for her big performance. When she looks into the crowd, she sees Eden and Mia there to watch her. And as she starts to play, she notices one face in particular. Ronan showed up.
Of course he did.
She announces that this song she wrote is called The Highest Bidder. As he watches her, he's beaming with pride, so happy to see all the progress she's actually made. And then Mia asks him if he'd be interested in returning to the club tomorrow night for a reverse auction. They're auctioning off VIP members to support the local DV shelter. He's hesitant, but says he'll think about it. Daisy gets off stage and he hands her a water and tells her she looks good and she thanks him. He tells her happy late birthday and it's hella awkward. And then he tells her he's proud of her and she smiles and says thank you again. And then he says his goodbyes and he leaves. Daisy chases after him and says she has one more question. Was the money for her or was it for her mom? And he tells her it was for her and she asks why. He says because he always wanted to take care of her. It's her money and she should do whatever she wants with it and go live an amazing life. She starts to cry and he gets in his car and drives away. She goes home and sleeps until her shift the next day, waking up in a funk, but she has to get ready for the big night at the club. The auction starts and goes off without a hitch, but at the very last second, a new person is announced. to be auctioned off, and it's Ronan.
Ronan, and Miss Girl has all her money now.
The crowd goes wild, and women are bidding thousands of dollars for a night with him. And then Daisy stands up and says, $1 million.
Jesus. Girl, all your money.
All of it. She has a little panty and starts to get woozy, and just as she's about to fall, strong arms catch her and whisk her away. He puts her in the car and takes her to see a doctor, but while they're driving, she starts to cry and tells him she misses him. She apologizes for everything, and he tells her he missed her too, and they start making out until the driver is finally like, we're here.
Get out.
Yeah. The doctors run some tests on her, and while they're in the waiting room, Ronan is like, tell Gio you're moving out. Then the doctor comes in and tells her that her pregnancy test is positive.
Oh, Jesus.
Ronan is smiling and Daisy is sobbing, apologizing for forgetting to take her birth control in Paris. But he's like, nah, girl, this is great. When they get back to the apartment, she tells him she's keeping it. And he's like, are you sure? And she says, yes, but she's scared. And he's like, let's take a shower. They undress each other. And as soon as they get into the water, she's like, fuck me, daddy. So he does.
The years between us don't matter. Our ages mean nothing. In this small space, our connection outweighs all of that. As he thrusts harder, slamming into me at a quicker pace, I let out a breathless moan. My body starts to tighten with pleasure, so I reach between us, finding my clit and rubbing it in tight, fast circles. That's my girl, he mutters between the forceful drives of his hips. My legs squeeze tightly around him, and I'm nearly blinded by the sensation of my orgasm. Come on, daddy's cock, Daisy. His voice is strained as he slides in one last time before shuddering his own climax inside me.
Come on, daddy's cock.
Daisy thinks to herself that even though Ronan will take care of her, she'll always be there to take care of him. Now we're in the epilogue. Daisy is 2 days past her due date, and Ronan knows exactly how to get things moving along.
Yes, daddy, I'm coming, she cries. My cock is throbbing between my body and the bed, letting out a growl. I flip her over, carefully moving her to her hands and knees. Her pussy is still pulsing as I thrust my way in, slamming my hips against her backside, with her fists clenching the sheets. She shoves herself back against me, meeting my thrust slam for slam. You drive your daddy fucking crazy, baby girl. You're gonna take every drop, aren't you? Yes, daddy, she squeals into the mattress. That's my girl, I reply. Tell me you want it. Fill me up, daddy. Come inside me.
It's 3 years later. They move to Paris. They have a few more kids. They work at the French sex club, and sometimes they hire an au pair to go there for fun, too. Life is good. The end.
Beautiful. Wonderful.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis?
I think this was my least favorite one out of all of them.
You liked Mercy more?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I give it 3.
Okay. And do you think Ronan is sexy?
Yeah. Yeah. Who doesn't love a good silver fox?
Would you trade places with Daisy?
No. I don't know if I could ever fuck someone that I knew fucked my mom.
That's fair. And they don't really dive into that either.
No. They just glide right over that.
Yeah, really, that would probably be a hard stop for me, in all honesty.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So next week, we're telling Riley all about The Dragon's Bride by Katie Robert, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
A deal with a demon novel is what it says. And it's got a dragon man holding a woman. She looks like a damsel in distress. Okay, you know what? I'm going like Shrek here. I feel like this woman is going to be like held captive. She's going to be in this tower, okay? She's going to be somewhere. This dragon, it's going to be his bride, but it's not really his bride. He's like not protecting her, but keeping guard so nobody can come and save her. But then a man is going to come and try and fight this dragon. He's going to be her prince, if you will, and sweep her away and save her.
Okay.
How'd I do?
No.
nowhere near.
Okay.
But I liked it.
Yeah, it was good.
Thank you. I really channeled Shrek for it.
My brain went to Shrek too.
Really?
He is very dragon though.
Yeah. Also very green.
Very alligator.
He is very green.
Yeah.
That's probably why you went Shrek.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.